This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Welcome back. 6 after 10. My special guests are here in the studio. Interesting indeed. Vincent Magwenya, CEO of Conversation Media, and Mr. Lorato Tsenkeng, MD Decode Media. Gentlemen, we're going to talk about the campaign strategies. But by the way, guys, the lines are open throughout the show. You can get in touch with us on different platforms. Our power line 0861-987-000. And of course, we are at PowerFM987 on Twitter, hashtag PowerWeek. And of course, you can tweet me directly at Murillo Muriano. Gentlemen, good morning to you. Welcome to Power. Are you all good?
Good morning, Mario. All good. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm very well. Apparently, you guys, you did the right thing this morning. Did you?
Good morning, Mario.
Do you know what the right thing is?
Definitely.
What did you do this morning? The right thing.
I woke up early, prepared breakfast, washed the dishes, and, you know, looked after the mother of my children. So well, I did my bit.
Congratulations.
Yeah. No. I did relegate mine to later, after this interview. You know, it was a little bit tough to wake up after. It was a little bit of a hard slog at the Rock at IEC there.
Okay. You enjoyed yourself at the Rock.
Yes,
okay.
No, I indeed.
Yeah, well, I decided to do my duties yesterday. Anyway, welcome to it. Gentlemen, you know, when coming to campaigning, messaging is everything. Campaign strategies, they talk about messaging and so on. But ever since the campaign trails kicked off, Vincent, starting with you, was there any specific messaging as you analyze different messaging of different political parties? Quite obviously, it was difficult because there were many political parties coming out, but surely you will pick some that resonates, that you feel, they got it right. Out of all this plethora of political parties, what were those that got their messaging correctly?
Well, when we assess messaging, against the context in which the campaign is taking place. We don't look at messaging in isolation. And when one looks at the current context we find ourselves in as a country, if you look at the AFF, for example, there was a level of consistency in their messaging, quite simple, quite direct, and consistent throughout. And one may even argue that it had been consistent for some time, even pre the elections, in terms of land and jobs. Whether they have the capacity to deliver those jobs, it's another story. Mm. But to the extent that that message was targeted at their constituency, to the extent that that message had some resonance to their voters, I felt that message was quite effective. Mm. Insofar as the ANC, as the party already in government, the governing party, the party that voters would look at against their record of delivery, what have they managed to deliver, against what are they promising with respect to what they've already delivered, I felt the message of let's grow South Africa together was a bit iffy for me. It wasn't strong enough. I couldn't get a sense that this was a party that was clear about its responsibility insofar as the management of the economy is concerned. Mm. So again, I spoke about context in which the elections are taking place. The economy right now, as we all know, is in a very, very poor condition.
Yeah.
And so you will have expected a more robust and straightforward message from the governing party around the economy rather than an all-inclusive, kind of vague, let's grow South Africa together kind of message, when we can actually assess your record of delivery on growth to not be a great one. Yeah. And there are many indicators that we can use to that effect.
Hmm. So, Lorato, well, Vincent picked two somewhat big parties, the governing party as well as the EFF, that they've, especially the EFF, done well in terms of messaging. What did you pick up from all these parties?
Mario, and fortunately, I've been invited on Power FM during the campaigns, right? Mm. And one of the things that I was consistent about was, if you look at the Freedom Front Plus, they actually had the most simplest, and to Vincent's point, they had the simplest message that was resonating with their constituents, right? Fight back, slanterech. So if you were a white if you are a white person in South Africa and there's a Sasol a BEE deal that is about to be done 25 years later, and you are being told that you are not going to benefit from this economic empowerment deal, right? The likelihood is that you are going to feel that there's a need for me to stand and fight back. Right. If you are a white South African in South Africa and you have a farm or you live in a farm, and whether it's perceived or not, but there's an issue around farm murders, and whether it's it's presented as white genocide or whatever the case may be, because your livelihood is threatened, because your life is threatened, that message is going to resonate with you. Right. But also what they've done exceptionally well. So I drove to Potchefstroom and a few Afrikaner towns, Ventersdorp, Wolmaranstad. They had posters there from Timbuktu and back, right? And you go to Kempton Park. So what they tried to do was to say, if you look at Kempton Park, we don't have constituency in Tembisa. So we are not going to have posters in Tembisa, right? But when you drive just down to Boksburg, there will be a whole lot of because you can tell that it was not just about messaging. They had also figured out that, listen, there is no point in trying to speak to people that will have to work hard to convert, right? Then go to the other side. You look at the DA, for instance. The DA then come up with, again, a very generic message, trying to be a broad church, one South Africa for all. They go to the extent of, when you go to Harangua, for instance, their posters would be in Setswana. When you go to any Xhosa, dominant area, their posters would be in Xhosa.
Oh, so Bantustan mentality.
Sometimes poorly translated as well.
Absolutely.
Sometimes poorly translated.
Right. Yeah. And which, if you think about it, immediately you start doing that. So when people on Twitter start having a conversation about wrong translation, it means that people are having a conversation about the wrong thing.
Yes.
Right. So from a messaging point of view, the Freedom Front Plus got it right better than everyone else, even better than the EFF, in my view. And I think the DA is the results are showing and they are telling, right?
Okay. I think the next level from messaging is strategy and tactics.
Yeah.
Because what you're talking about, the EFF's positioning of their posters and probably maybe any other media platforms that they utilize. But it's all about strategy and tactics. So, Vincent, from a strategic point of view, because it is all about that. When you design your communications and media strategy, if you look at it globally, I'm talking from a South African context, the global political landscape. Were there any strategic and tactical things that you picked from this campaign trails that were done by these political parties?
Well, to add to the point made just now, What I picked up was, particularly with these two parties, the FF Plus and the EFF, was that from a strategic point of view, you could pick out that the strategy was simple. And therefore, that simplicity of strategy led to perfect execution, almost, if you can say that, immaculate execution on their side, because they simplified the issues in which they will engage. And in that way, their message was more simple, was a lot more direct, and they were clear who they were going after. And so all of those will be the elements of your strategy. If you look at the FF, for example, and you can tell that these are guys that were schooled in the ANC, that on-the-ground presence, was very, very important. And I think the FF did a lot more on the ground than they did on media channels, right? Because they understood their limited capacity in terms of resources to buy above the line, et cetera, et cetera. And similarly, the same application saw with
they
the
were
FF
the only
Plus.
Party really who bought your advertising on power, and it worked for them.
Exactly.
Now, they bought advertising on power 98.7, exactly. And it worked for them.
Now, strategically, Maria, to go back to your question, and I know the FF supporters out there have already taken exception in Malema being compared to Donald Trump. But if you look at what Trump did, Trump figured early on that he was never going to be the darling of the media from a traditional established kind of media, except for Fox News and a couple of other right-wing publications. He then decided to take it to Twitter. And for the first time, we saw a very effective use of Twitter by a political candidate and now by a sitting president. And I'm not going into whether we like what he tweets about or not.
Just strategy.
Just strategically, the use of the platform to the extent that media outlets that have chosen to take a particular view against you will use those tweets to get your perspective and to get your message through. So and I think the FF Plus and the EFF managed to pick on what are their strengths, what are their weaknesses, and how do, more importantly, they play on their strengths to get their message out, and the results are there to show.
Lorato Senge, here's an interesting one. You know, we keep on talking about the politics of personalities, whether they work or not. Look at the ATM. It was very interesting that they spoke about guaranteed six million votes, for instance. ATM was not really, really known. That is the African Transformation Movement, until one Mzwane Lemanyi convened a media briefing and says, I'm no longer a member of the ANC. I'm abandoning the party. I'm joining ATM. And then there was all this Mzwanele hype. But there they are. They've got two seats in the National Assembly. What does it mean? Did the manufacturer play a role when coming to ATM? I mean, they're in parliament with two seats. It's incredible.
Mrio, I suspect to an extent it did, right? And before I answer the question again directly, if you think about the impromptu press briefing that the 30 parties that lodged a complaint against the IEC, their first and the biggest gripe was that there is disproportionate coverage of smaller parties in the traditional media. And whether we agree with them or not, it is likely that, in fact, that is a fact, right? If you are an Azabo and you are not as interesting, why would a Power FM invest the little resources that you have? Tiso Blackstar is saying that they are likely to close Sunday World because of lack of resources. So why would a Tiso Blackstar or even a title editor want to go and spend money on a party that is not as exciting like the Land Party? They may be talking about an issue, but if you look at how they deal with it versus how an EFF or even a Freedom Front Plus deals with the land issue, it's almost chalk and cheese, right? So to a great extent, personality politics still works a lot in South Africa, and it's to some extent it's about who is the carrier of the message, and this is where a Hlaudi Motsoeneng, for instance, got a lot of publicity. Of course, it may have been for comical relief, right? But if you think about it, there are many people that got to pay attention. And in fact, to Vincent's point, one of the things that a Hlaudi may have missed is that when I tweet, or at least when there's a video of myself, many people talk about it. And it means that a Hlaudi would have then missed the point that if I have a captive audience, but in this captive audience, how do I then convert the people who are listening to me with the right kind of messaging? Right. But of course, then we can tell that, you know, or at least some of us have rendered him somebody who belongs in the loony bin. Right. For all obvious reasons. So to a great extent, I still think that plays a role. And that is why even the Ramaphosa campaign or at least the ANC campaign was won more by the Ramaphosa factor rather than the ANC itself as a party. So you can tell that personality politics still plays a role in the South African society.
So Vincent, Hlaudi Motsoeneng, for instance, he's out of parliament. But I mean, there are some things that he mentioned. I will change South Africa in 6 months. Simple, straight, powerful message. I'm going to the union buildings directly. I'm going to dislodge the current president because I don't know.
No, Maria, I think let's respect your listeners. Let's respect your listeners and let's not go into detail analyzing Cloudy's message. It was, I mean, he got a lot of coverage for comical relief, as it has been said. You could see reporters having a chuckle as they were interviewing him. And I think we need to be cautious to say you don't have to lampoon yourself or be lampooned to get attention. Mm. What smaller parties lacked, other than the obvious absence of resources, which they will complain about, which in my view they would have known about and should have known about, they lack creativity.
Yeah.
It's just, that's the bottom line. Mm. And that creativity, by the way, is not only, was not only absent from your new participants in the elections. Even parties who have been in parliament for a very long time, you look at the UDM. The UDM is on a state of decline.
Yeah. Mm.
Over the years, they've been losing the amount of seats. Now they left with two seats. The UDM is equal to Bantu Lomisa, and Bantu Lomisa is the UDM. And with all that brand equity that he has, he's not managed to attract people that can assist him to creatively get his message out there. So it's still same old, same old. In the era of digital media and social media, with the levels of proliferation that we see, you shouldn't complain about being given minimal amount of coverage in traditional media platforms. Mm, mm. You have access to audiences directly. You can even measure how they consume your message. So you just need to be creative in how you package your message, as my colleague has said, with how Sawoodi got this captive audience without necessarily being creative.
Yeah.
And what we're saying is don't be lampooned, don't make a fool of yourself, but be creative with how you reach out to as many people as possible. Having said that, politics will, a personality of politics or politics of personality will always be a factor. The Democrats will have not won the White House if it weren't for Barack Obama and who Barack Obama was and his oratory skills, his story, etc. So personality will always play a factor. And there's no doubt the ANC campaign was carried single-handedly by Cyril Ramaphosa. If it weren't for him, we'll be talking worse numbers in Gauteng and elsewhere.
Okay, you can put your cans there. I think I've got a caller on the line who wants to weigh in into our discussion. It's gone 23 after the hour 10. Power Week it is, with me, Murio Sanyane, my special guest in the studio, Vincent Magwenya, as well as Lorato Tsenkeng. Let's go to Tebogo in Heidelberg. Tebza, good morning. Welcome.
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. How's it, man?
Fine. Actually, my concern is that Cyril is going to have a very serious problem when it comes to implementing his ideas and policies. Because if you look at the current situation in the ANC, we have those who are partly involved, who are involved in the state capture inquiry, and they will be opposing him in all directions, making life difficult for him to implement his ideas. Because you can even hear the Mahashules and the Nomvula Mokonyanis, they are challenging him left, right, and center. So I think it's going to be difficult for ANC to implement their policies, because there is too much fighting inside the ANC.
Okay.
And if you look at the top six, majority of those members, of those who are in the top six, some of them are part of, most of them are part of Mahashules and Zuma. So I think it's going to be a problem for Ramaphosa to implement his ideas.
Thank you very much, Tebogo, there. So, Tate Tsenge, let's look at what Tebogo is saying from a messaging point of view. Even in this critical point, there's always been this conflicting messages coming within the ANC. Fikile Mbalule will say one thing, and he's the head of elections. The Secretary General will say the other things, and there's this contestation within the ANC itself as to whether it was a Ramaphosa factor that took them over the line, or it was just a collective effort by the African National Congress. So they were just saying that it might make it difficult for him to govern and so on. But we know the ANC prides itself with this collective, you know, the collective decision-making. It's not a one-man party, you know, kind of thing. But what transpired, these conflicting messages that came through, can it have dented them somehow?
Absolutely, Brio. And this is one of the things that the ANC will continue to struggle with for the longest time. It will continue to struggle with it because whether we like it or not, there's still the CR17 factor versus the Zuma factor, right? And the Zuma, which was more backing up the NDZ camp, right? there has been some way, or at least some ground that has been clawed in terms of unity. But when you look at, for instance, Didi Mabuza, the deputy president, he stands on the podium in parliament and says to South Africans, "I don't take a cabinet minister serious in Tidomboweni." Right. So you can tell that there are so many own goals that are scored. So it's not even just about a matter of these two camps that are sitting on, call it, two opposite sides. It's also just about, when there's disagreement, we are also going to do it in public. Fikile Mbalula speaks to Thabiso Kotane the other day on here, and Thabiso Kotane asks him a direct question. Do you still think that the ANC SG, Ace Magashule, is the worst thing that has happened to the ANC? He says, no. You know, we can never speak ill of the SG. 3 days later at The Rock, he then reprimands in full view of journalists.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And he was doing it for the right reasons, because essentially he was just saying, you cannot discount the role of the president in this whole campaign, which Ace, the SG of the ANC, was literally trying to almost say, no, listen, he must not take credit.
Yeah.
But when you look at, for instance, The Economist, The Economist was, there's a front cover that says that this is the guy to, if he were to take over or at least govern South Africa. They're not saying the ANC. The Economist could have said that, right? Singled out the institution, but they chose the face of the campaign. You look at the Financial Mail, similar. So ordinarily, from a confidence point of view, the ANC will continue to struggle, because they fail to toe the party line in terms of managing the internal dynamics.
Yeah, indeed. 28 minutes after the hour 10. Let's go to the lines quickly. Ben in Kensington. Hi, Ben.
Thanks for taking my call. Very interesting discussion. Thank you. Can we go back to the UDM? And I mean, they've been great in parliament, but they're dwindling out. And maybe the point is, like, why don't these small and nyana parties have elections and raise new leaders? Like, we've had old Bantu Holomisa from the get-go. Like, come on now, let's have some young blood. Let's, you know what I'm saying? Why do the small parties not elect leaders on a cycling basis?
Ben, that's a very interesting point, because the only leader of the UDM we know after he was expelled by the ANC is the general himself. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. Ben, thank you very much, Ben. Drive safely there. Vincent, I want to come back to the issue of campaigning and the strategies. I was at The Rock, and I was standing with Mukoni Rajtanga, my colleague, as well as, and then Mr. Gwede Mantashe came out of our studio because he was interviewed there at The Rock. And there was a gentleman from one of the smaller parties. Ah, gee, man, I was even saying, I'm in the media, but I felt bad, because it was this name. And he was one of the guys who was complaining, and he was showing us the letter of complaint. That was handwritten, by the way. That was taken to the IC that we complained about. And he was saying to Mr. Mantashe to say, no, you know, the IC didn't do its work and so on. Then Mr. Mantashe said to him, do you know that we campaigned very hard? We traveled the length and breadth and knock on doors and get into people's houses. And he says, I've never met any of your party people or any of your thing. And the guy asked him, were you in Mpumalanga? Gwede Mantashe says, yes. And he mentioned the areas that he went to. He says, Eastern Cape, he mentioned. And he said, where have you been? And the gentleman said, honestly speaking, I didn't go anywhere. And these are the guys who are saying the elections were not credible or whatever. Let's leave all these strategies of media and whatever. This basic thing of door-to-door going to the people, does it work?
So it does work. It does have a lot of merit. But allow me to just take a few steps back and just lay some context that is very important. Why do we have so many small parties contesting for the elections? Reason, amongst many reasons, is that we have an anomaly in our Electoral Act. And that anomaly arises from the fact that our Act does not allow you and I as individuals to run as potentially independent members of Parliament. And that's something the IEC will be addressing going forward, because there is now a constitutional court judgment to that effect, that actually the act is inconsistent with the spirit of the constitution. Right? So that's why you have a problem with the UDM, that's why you have a problem with all these smaller parties, because they need to form political parties in order to be able to run for office. Otherwise, Bantu Olomisa will easily run as an independent member of parliament and he will get
many votes.
He will get many votes. Now he has to pretend to be leading and growing a political party over a period of time when he does not have the capacity to do that. And he knows it, and we all know it. The results confirm it. So that's the context that lends us into this situation. So people now end up having to form political parties in order to have some form of legitimate vehicle in which to launch their campaigns, their manifestos, and what they stand for. So that contextually is important.
Yeah.
I think the other bit that we need to recognize is that we're in a country that's being ravaged by unemployment. I mean, in some cases, you can just tell these are people out there looking to make a living. They shouldn't be in politics. They have no coherent message to offer. They have simply nothing to offer. So they go for it. You know, you get some money from the IEC, you could witness it, look at ATM now, and you can make a living out of it.
Yeah.
At that point, going back to your question, is does door-to-door campaign work? Yes, it works, because it gives you that authentic face time with your constituency. You can hear directly from them if they are unhappy, if they are happy, and what their aspirations are. And where have you failed in delivering to their aspirations? We've seen Gogos chasing ANC campaigners away, saying, I don't want your T-shirt. You promised me a house. Look at where I am. Go away. We've seen the opposite, where Gogos welcome the president, talk to the president. And we've seen some ugly scenes with the SG handing out, the ANC secretary general handing out 400 rands and whatever. Yeah. Opening the fridge uninvited. But generally, door-to-door still works. In a country like ours, it will always have merit. Even in America, it works. It's one of the ways that they use to get voters out there to vote. It's one of the ways in which they mobilize people behind their campaigns.
All right, let's go to Vuyo Maha. He's the spokesperson, Minister of Sports and Recreation, joining us on the line. Vuyo, what's your point this morning?
Good morning, everybody.
Yes, sir, we're good, man.
I'm fine, man. No, I'm actually saying, you know, the election work or the campaign, both the SG of the ANC and the head of elections are actually not quite far apart. It's not one is not exclusive of the other. It's not a brainer that the president of the state and the president of the ANC was the puller of the elections, and subsequently what your guest is saying in terms of the door-to-door, because it's not possible that the president would have been everywhere in any community. Volunteers of the ANC through their door-to-door managed to reaffirm, you know, that work. So it's a combination of the two. So I could not understand really what was seems to be a problem, because one, if you look at Gauteng, for example, the major sentiments of people of Gauteng was that, listen, we are heartful, but possibly let's give these steps another chance. Now, you must make a barometer or yardstick of that by 2016 elections to say how did the ANC fare in 2016 and now, because those are quite closely related elections. To have an appreciation, did we turn the corner? And I think if you look at the results now, it actually gives you an indication that we have turned the corner. We're not, this is not where it's supposed to be. At least in Ekurhuleni, it's got about 52%. In Johannesburg, it's just below 50. In Tshwane, it's still struggling a bit, but above 45 from where it was. So if you have to compare the two elections of 2016 and now, and you focus mainly on the Gauteng component because of the migration nature of Gauteng, because other people only use one ballot because they will have migrated to Gauteng and they've registered in Polokwane, so they can't vote in twice. But I'm saying if you focus on that 50.19 and you then compare to where it was, we're sitting at 45%, now we're in 50.1. So there is a movement, an upward movement, and I'm saying that can obviously, you cannot discount to to credit, you know, the current president of the ANC.
Okay, Vuyo.
In the pull of it.
Okay, Vuyo. Vincent wants to chip in because we're about to wrap up in 5 minutes. Yeah, Vin, you know.
I find Vuyo's point interesting. One of the things I said earlier on was we cannot divorce the campaigns against the context in which they exist. Mm-hmm. Now, the reality of the numbers, and I'm going to park 2016 and not compare with 2016, but I'm going to start the comparison from 2009. When you look at those numbers, the story that they tell is that the governing party is a party in decline, albeit it's still a very powerful brand with enormous equity at all levels of society. That we cannot take away. But if you look at those numbers, they don't lie. Mm. It's a party in decline. Why is that? That's because you can use a rule of thumb and say the campaign and the messaging will say will have a 5% contribution in converting people with respect to how they vote. The rest, people are going to vote on the basis of their actual lived experiences, right? So what have I been experiencing for the past 25 years? And is it enough for me to extend the mandate or give somebody else a chance or decide whichever way I decide? So in how the ANC assesses itself and the effectiveness of its campaign, it has to acknowledge that the story that these numbers tell, when you compare all the general elections we've had since 2009, it's a party that is in decline, and it has to get to grips with that. You can't take 2016 and tap yourself in the back and say you've done well. You've not. You've got a serious problem that you need to address. And because what you need to also acknowledge is that for every communication to be effective, you need the effectiveness of leadership. There's a strong correlation, and we've done the research to this extent, between effective leadership and effective communication. And part of the problem that Loretta alluded on was the break in leadership insofar as singing off the same hymn sheet and alignment of messaging, which is leadership discipline, leadership coherence, etc. So those are issues that the ANC needs to get to grips with.
Okay, Vuyo, just give us 30 seconds, wrap. We're about to finish. Okay. Yeah.
No, thank you very much. I don't think we are miles apart. Maybe to take the 2019. Maybe one of the things that your guest must do is about what is the component or the component of the maturing democracy in South Africa and the reflection of numbers. You go through all in Europe or in America between the Democrats and the Conservatives. What is the normal difference there? And what informs it is that Trump is so good that people in America were so hurtful with Obama that actually they made Trump to win? Or is it about the state of maturing of democracy? And for me, that's my argument more than really the message and the lived experience and the realities that we find. Because if you then gonna find those realities in Gauteng, and actually the component where it actually the ANC gets hurt most is the suburbs, which is the middle class that has been developed by the policies of the ANC. The biggest beneficiaries of it. They are the ones who are creating the ANC. Now, the issue is that compare that one to my brother in the Eastern Cape.
Okay, Vuyo, I got to leave it at that. I'm out of time. Thank That's you very much. There. All right, Vuyo Maga, the spokesperson for Minister of Sports and Recreation. Guys, as we wrap it up, Lorato, the campaigns are done, the results are out. If you are a campaign strategist for political parties, what will basically be, especially those that have done well, because those that have failed, I'm not sure if there's anything to say, but maybe I can give you a challenge in terms of those that have failed, those that have done badly. What should be the plan? And I'll give Vincent the final word in terms of those that have sort of succeeded. Do they relax, or what is the campaign going forward to 2016 local government elections? Yeah.
I have the benefit of youth between the three of us. so allow me to use the EFF's language.
Yeah.
To be a bit radical, and I've said this in an interview with them, AZAPO must collapse into a think tank. AZAPO will benefit South Africans better as a think tank because of the intellectual capital that we know of them to possess, right? That is almost something that they've managed to find to be able to create a nucleus of people who ordinarily are thinkers, right? And they pride themselves with that. And I'm saying, imagine if an ATM, and whether philosophically they agree or not, or ideological, from a political ideology, they agree or not. If an Azapo were to sponsor a private member's bill that supports the ATM, because we know that the ATM will likely not have the research capacity, right? But you have a think tank that says the issue of a black child in South Africa is issue 1, 2, 3, and 4. And a body that is outside of parliament then says that we'll back you up and say, this is how you become better. This is how you then appeal to the electorate. And to the smaller parties like an ATM, The biggest thing is going to be with the two seats that we have in the legislature. We know that airtime is going to be congruent to that, right? So when there's a debate, we'll get 1.5 minute, whereas somebody else will get five and 10 minutes. Mm. And it's not about how you utilize the 1.5 minute. Mm. It is about when can we do what Mario Ambrosini did by submitting a private member's bill on legalizing of cannabis, right? And we are here today talking about cannabis as a huge economic potential, and that's going to benefit a whole lot of industries. So for me, I think smaller parties must really think about it that way. Lastly, the EFF, are they going to use the benefit of these four young people, Peter Getse, Naledi Chirwa, to almost put them in the forefront? Because you see, what Vince was referring to, the high unemployment rate, these young people to a great extent have been able to appeal to the youth that somewhat are despondent because they are not getting jobs, even when they with a qualification.
Okay, let's hold it there, Lorato. V, 1 minute for those that have succeeded, what do they need to do?
To the parties that have succeeded, the ANC, we want to see two things: accountability and delivery. Radically improve service delivery. Stop slogans up around radical economic transformation. You're not going to do it. Radically improve service delivery. Show a level of accountability and communicate that effectively. To the DA, be clear who you're going after. Are you going after minorities? Then forget that you're going to grow. Or do you want to appeal to a broader section of society? If that's the case and that's where you see your growth, deal those issues, be honest about those issues, embrace those issues, and stop campaigning negatively. You know, Ramaphosa at this Yangoba rally delivered his entire speech without mentioning a single opposition party. The DA must focus on presenting its ideas, and it has a lot of them. To the EFF, deal with the VBS issue decisively and be serious in parliament. Let's have bills that you've sponsored that talk to your constituency, that talk to the challenges that we face. So it's about delivery and it's about accountability.
Vincent Magwenya there of Conversations Media, as well as Lorato Tsenkeng, MD of Decode Media. Gentlemen, I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.